So this morning, we are starting a brand new series about money, and more importantly, about generosity. And this is, I'm excited about this. I think this is going to be a very good series for me and Ida. For all of us, I'm hoping. But I'm hoping it's going to be a great series for all of us. Money is one of those really touchy subjects for all of us. In fact, just mentioning that this message is going to be about money might have some of you searching for the nearest exit. Don't use it. Hold on. Wait a second. Money is one of those things that is touchy because of the value that we place on it. Money can be interpreted by some of us as our level of success. How successful are you as a human being depends on how much money you have in the bank. Or we can interpret it as our value as a human being. Am I a good person? Did I contribute lots? It depends on how much money I have. Or money can determine our level of safety. Am I going to be okay? Well, it depends on how much money I have in the bank. And so you see, these are very deep internal issues that you and I face. So when we start talking about our money, for some of us, we're talking about our worth, our safety. These are very touchy things. I think I've mentioned before how giving, generosity works in my family. Over the last 25 years of being married to my wife, I have gotten to know her pretty well. I have gotten to know both her strengths and her extra strengths. What did you think I was going to say? One of the things Jen has always done better than me, always. She's always been more generous than me. If there's a need around us, we find out something on Facebook, we find out something in our church, there's a special offering coming up, she's already got in mind what she's going to give. Now, I come from a very different angle. I'm asking questions like, should we give this person money? Is that going to help them? Or what would be a reasonable amount to give to that person? Now, I'm not saying these are bad questions, but my wife is way better at being generous than I am. And after, you know, those negotiations you have with your spouse, for those of you who are married, as to how much you may or may not give to a person or cause, I have always been on the losing end. I always come across looking like the cheapskate. So I've figured out a formula, and it works like this. I ask the question, what would be a reasonable amount to give to this? And then I increase it a lot. And then I take that amount and I double it. That gets me pretty close to the ballpark of where my wife is already at. So now when it comes to extra offerings or that sort of thing, I'm pretty close to where my wife is at, and that's good. And she has taught me so much about being generous. It's been so helpful for me. Money, as I have found out, is a spiritual issue. And it affects every person in this room. It is not surprising to me that almost half of the stories Jesus told involved money. It's not surprising to me that there are hundreds of verses in the Bible about money. Money is making some of us in this room stressed out right now, making us anxious, even depressed. And I believe as we enter this series, God has more for you. And I'm here in this series to declare freedom for you and for me. That we would live more like Jesus. So this week we're looking at worship with your wallet. Next week we're going to look at the money monster. And on the third week, I'm going to be giving to you some advanced money principles that you're probably not going to find in any seminar. Here's the thing. Followers of Jesus are called to give generously. Now, some of us grew up being taught that you are to tithe, which is an old covenant standard. The problem with tithing, and there's nothing wrong with tithing, you can tithe if you'd like, which, by the way, a tithe means a tenth, so you give a tenth of your income. The problem with tithing is for some people it's a bottom end, and for some people it can become the top end. The thing is about tithing is it just requires a calculator. It does not require a relationship. Generosity, on the other hand, requires some communication with God. And that's what we are called to in the New Testament. Now, there is an example of spontaneous generosity that happened in the Old Covenant way back in 1400 BC. And as we get into Worship With Your Wallet, we are going to discover that we give for what we live for. Now, I need to set up the scene here so you understand what's going on. The Hebrew people just left Egypt. They just saw all kinds of miracles. They're out into the desert. God's just given them the law about all the sacrifices they need to make, all the rules they need to keep, and all that sort of thing. The problem is they had no place of worship. There's no place to do all these sacrifices. All these sacrifices, of course, were leading up to the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus himself. But they didn't have a place of worship. So they're out in the desert, about a million of them. And where's all the material for this tabernacle, this tent, this place of worship going to come from? Now, Moses could have. He could have said, I'll tell you what, you're all going to tithe. I want you all to give 10%. You're going to give it to me right now, and I'm going to take that, and we're going to use that to build a tabernacle. He could have. Probably would have been somewhat effective. But that's not how the very first mass place of worship for God came about. It went like this. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord." And then he lists out a whole bunch of things, a lot of like gold, silver, and all that kind of stuff. I won't read it all to you, but there's a lot of things listed, including he was asking for time for people to use their abilities as well. So once he went through this whole list, speech time, it says, so the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. I wonder what kind of negotiations were going on between husband and wife. I wonder what kind of, you know, if you're a real cynic, you were thinking, boy, it was a pretty tense evening for some people that night. And you would think that the next morning there might be a lineup for divorce court, but no. It's much, much better. It said, all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. They got up, grabbed some precious things to them, and they began marching off to Moses. A whole lineup of them. First there was one, then another, then another. And before they knew it, there was a whole lineup of them. Now look at who came. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. What an offering this was. Nothing was off limits. Did you catch what it said there? They gave rings off their fingers. Now, I don't know if they had wedding rings back then, but they certainly had rings on their fingers, and they dropped those rings into this offering. Nothing was off limits. Whether it was their Rolexes, their wedding rings, great-great-grandma's brooch, it all went. They had no problems. Nothing was out of bounds. Nothing was out of bounds. But then they brought other valuables. It says, all those who owned the following items willingly brought them. Willingly brought them. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, and tanned ramskins and fine goatskin leather, and all who had silver and bronze object gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord. Now that list doesn't mean a whole lot to us, does it? But let me tell you, these were very expensive items. I've spent a lot of time at West Edmonton Mall, being an Albertan, and I have kind of a little rule that I follow about which stores I go into, and it works like this. The more items they have in the store, the more likely I am to go in. If I come across a store that's very clean and there's three items for sale and four people standing there waiting to sell it to me, I'm very not likely to go into that store. Am I the only one with this rule? And why? Because you know those items are going to be expensive, right? It's those items in that store that I'd walk by that they brought for this offering. These are expensive, expensive things, collector's items that you would not find anywhere else. These are from high-end stores. So, all the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work of the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts, and gave them freely to the Lord. So there was a lot of generosity going, but was it enough? Or were they going to have a telethon? Moses gave the workers the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Every morning, Moses would wake up, and there's a pile of valuables there. Building materials, gold, silver, sitting right there. And so he'd have to haul it off to the workers, and this happened every morning. And then something really weird happens. Watch this. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. What is this, union stuff? Did they not like their dental plan or something? Like, what's going on here? They just up and, that's it, I'm done. They're out of there. What was going on? Well, we find out right away. Then they went to Moses and reported, "The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. And that's where we're going to leave the story. Now, this story has some remarkable things to tell you and I about generosity in Nanaimo Alliance Church in 2019. There are three things that we can pull from this story that apply directly to us about the nature of generosity. And here they are. First of all, generosity is motivated by desire. There was no capital campaign. There was no telethon. They weren't asked to fill out pledge cards. Moses didn't haul up little Zeke, poor little Zeke, with his ragged clothing and his dirty face, and say, "Won't someone please donate to the sanctuary? I mean, where's little Zeke going to do Saturday school?" That's a joke. Obviously not funny. Okay. And he could have done that. He could have had this whole guilt trip planned out with little Zeke. But he didn't. He just said, if you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. No worries. No problem. It's okay. And it's when people are free to give or not give, that's when the real God stuff happens. Because then it is God directing. And not guilt, not shame. It says, I'm going to read to you some of the phrases that came out of the story. Their hearts were stirred. Their spirits were moved. Their hearts were willing. They were eager to help. They gave their offering freely. That's the God stuff. That's the beauty of generosity. It's motivated by inner desire. Generosity cannot be birthed by external pressure, but by internal freedom. I'll say that again. Generosity cannot be birthed by external pressure, but by internal freedom. Something changed inside the hearts of these people that they would part with their treasure. So generosity is motivated by desire. Second of all, generosity is for all. Now, I don't want to stretch this point too much, but I thought it was really interesting. In this story, it mentions women more than men. Did you notice that? If you read the whole story, it mentions how really involved women were. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, women in those days were kind of considered valueless. They were almost like property back then. They didn't have power. They didn't have authority. And it says the first place of worship, women were highly involved. And he makes special note. Moses could have written this. He could have said, people just showed up and they donated. But he says, both men and women. And so this was something pretty special that women were involved in this. Generosity is for all. It's not confined to the rich and powerful. You know, back in Slave Lake where I came from, there used to be fundraising dinners. And these fundraising dinners, you could purchase a table. I'm sure they have these same things here in Nanaimo. And these tables would go for like 10 grand a piece. It became pretty clear to me these events were not for me. These events were for oil executives, business leaders, people with deep, deep pockets. I was not welcome at these things, unless I could scrounge up 10 grand. It was for a select few, but that's not the economy that God uses. For with God, generosity is for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, powerless or powerful, generosity is for you. Third, generosity creates surplus. When is the last time you heard a church leader stand up and say, please, please stop giving? We have too much. Have you ever heard a church leader say, we have too much? I haven't. But when there's generosity, it creates surplus. In fact, the giving exceeds the vision when people are being generous. Isn't that something? Generosity is extravagant. It's unreasonable. But it's just the first level. This story that I just read you is the first level of generosity. And we want to let me tell you what I mean. There are three levels of giving. The first one is what you just read about. It's spontaneous giving. This is you know of a need, something comes up, and you give towards it. You might do this if you see a homeless person, something at work might happen, and you empty your pockets. This is spontaneous giving. This is a good place to start. But it's only the beginning. The most generous people are not spontaneous givers. They're not. It's a good place to start, not a good place to end. So this is what you just read about, spontaneous giving. After that, now you get into the strategic givers. Strategic givers are often like your tithers. They've already prayed about it. They already know where they want to give their money. They're already convinced this is the amount or the percentage that they want to give. They are very strategic in what they're doing. It is set aside. It's not given at random. And I'll tell you, churches, charities, all that sort of thing, they live on strategic giving, not spontaneous giving. There is you cannot count on spontaneous giving. You could be spontaneously closing the door. You know, strategic giving is where that's at. Now, they give away a lot. Strategic givers, I'm telling you, they give away a lot. But that's not the peak of giving. I want to introduce you to Crazy Town. Because the final people come from Crazy Town. That's sacrificial giving. Sacrificial givers are radicals. They are fanatics. They don't just believe that worldly things don't matter. They live like worldly things don't matter. Now, they don't necessarily give away everything, but they have a very different boundary. Quite often, for many of us, we think, I can't afford to give away any more than what I'm giving. What that means is, I can't give away more without it altering my lifestyle. Sacrificial givers do not have that boundary. They're okay with their lifestyle being altered. They're okay to not take vacations or buy that new car or whatever. They're okay. They say, that's a boundary I'll cross if it's going to help people. Sacrificial givers give spontaneously, strategically, and sacrificially. But why? Why would anyone do that? Well, I want to go back to that story. And you might have missed an important detail in that story. I'm going to read you four verses. Watch this. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. Both men and women came. All whose hearts were willing, they brought to the Lord their offering. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering. Where? To the Lord. Finally, all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord. That's right, which is why, number four, ultimate generosity is worship. You might recall from messages past that worship is about worth. It's about placing a value on something or someone. When we come on a Sunday morning, we're saying, God, you are worth my time. You are worth me coming out in a possible snow squall to celebrate you. You're worth it to me. It's not about an emotional high or because we're expected to or because we're going to get an income tax receipt or not even because there's a need. It is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. And here's what I want us all to take away from this morning. If you remember anything from this morning, if you take away anything, if you could remember this one thing, this could change your life. We give for what we live for. We give for what we live for. If you live for sports, you will find a way to pay for those jerseys and those tickets and the gas money to get to these games. You will find a way to get there. And if you live for your family, you will find a way to come up with money for that college fund or that trip together as a family or whatever it may be. You'll find a way. Hobbies, music, cars, success, whatever it is, you will find a way. We give for what we live for. And if we live for God, our generosity will be primarily directed at Him because we have deemed Him worthy. Worthy. Now, some of you might be thinking, there's that pastor. All he wants you to do is give money to his church. He just wants to pad his pocket. Get richer. That's what this is all about. Let me assure you, if you become generous, chances are your generosity is going to overflow far beyond this ministry. Now, that being said, I have no shame in saying I believe this church needs you. This church needs the message that you carry with you if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And I have no apologies for giving money to the ministry here because I want you to be the brightest lights you can possibly be in Nanaimo. So, no shame. No embarrassment about that at all. But I really believe you are probably going to end up giving. And if you decide, you know, to give elsewhere, hey, I'll tell you something. If you don't give any money to this church, you are welcome here. Did you hear what I just said? You don't have to give a dime here, and you are welcome here. I mean it. I don't want you to come because I want your money. I want you to become because Jesus can change your life. Now I'm way off script at this point. We give for what we live for. Let's go back to that story once again, because there's a question. Why did they give so generously? Why would they do that? You have to understand what they've just experienced. You see, for 400 years, their people were slaves. Could you imagine? Your great, 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 great granddaddy was a slave. And the only thing you have to look forward to is slavery. It doesn't matter what your gifts and talents are. It doesn't matter what you want to do with your life. You are going to be a slave. That's your lot. You're going to work for Pharaoh the rest of your life until you keel over dead. Yeah, good times. Then along comes God, who through Moses performs all these miracles, including marching through a dry Red Sea while the most powerful army in the world gets stuck and drowns. You see him deliver the law of God on Mount Sinai. You have just been delivered from a lifetime of slavery. Do you know why they gave so much? Because they were so grateful. The whole Exodus story is symbolic of what you and I can experience in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we are told he sets us free from slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to the penalty and the power of sin. Free from the slavery to the devil. He sets us free. And our generosity will be the result of how grateful we are. Now maybe you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Christ yet. You've been kind of snooping around, that sort of thing. You can give your life to Christ today. Jesus died for you. That's what the Lord's table is all about, what he has done for you. And maybe you're here and you're worried about money and finances and all that sort of thing. I have great news for you. The message of Jesus Christ sets you free from all these things. Jesus gave for what he lived for. Think about what Jesus gave up. He gave up his freedom, his power, years of life. He gave up his comfort. He gave up his pride. Crucifixion was meant to be humiliating as you're up there naked for everyone to see. He gave that up for you and I. He gave everything. See, Jesus placed a value on you. And that value, when he thought, what is your life worth? His very life. He gave for what he lived for, and what he lived for was you and me. When it comes to generosity, we have to ask ourselves, what is our freedom worth to us? How grateful are we? Giving money is just one act of worship. But in all the different ways that we could worship, we answer the question, what is our freedom worth to us? How grateful are we? If we approach the Lord's table like it's just some ceremony or it's just another thing we do in church, we have lost our gratitude for what this represents. Jesus gave everything so that we could be free. Truly, truly free. Free to be generous. We give for what we live for. Generosity is about worship. What is God worth? What is salvation worth? What is our freedom worth? That's what worship is all about. We give for what we live for. You may be seated for a moment. As we close up the service this morning, my hope is that you have opened your heart up to what God would have to say to you about generosity. And no matter what level of giving you may find yourself at, ask God where He wants you to go, what He would have you do. After the service, we're going to give you about 5 minutes, and then we're going to start our annual general meeting. Everyone is welcome to attend that. If you need to leave, you are welcome to do that this morning. I realize this is a little unusual for some of you, but I'll give you about 5 minutes. So we're going to pray, and then we'll close. Lord, we realize this morning that it's a very real danger for all of us in this church to have money become something it's not meant to be. And Lord, you have freed us from the worry about money. So thank you, Jesus, that you have promised to take care of our needs, that you will not leave us, you will not abandon us. And so I pray for this church family, Lord, that you would inaugurate a new era of generosity that would bless not just this church, but would bless the kingdom throughout the world. Lord, may we live in the freedom from greed that you have given to us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross. Thank you for freeing us. Thank you that we can express our gratitude to you in this way, because you are worth it, Jesus. You are worth our worship. In whatever form it comes, you are worth it. We love you. We praise your name this morning. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen.